Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Paul said, God will with any temptation make a way of escape. Always with any temptation will also make a way of escape. Now there is tribulation coming upon the whole world, all those that live upon the earth, but he will with any tribulation, trial, and test make a way of escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a deliverance that comes by the ministry of angels? If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the angels of God. But those who will not confess that Jesus is the Messiah, they ain't going. They don't keep his name. There is no other name under heaven whereby ye must be saved but the name of Jesus. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was spoken to the Lord and confirmed to them that heard him? Now let me give you some scripture here in Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 22. We don't have to turn to it unless you want to. But this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus the beggar. Now, you know, he was at his gate full of sores and begging. And they died. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Are you seeing the importance of the ministry of angels and why everybody is getting excited about angels in this last day? Because kingdom shall rise against kingdom. The kingdom of darkness is trying to substitute error for pure teaching concerning angels. Be careful what you read. Make sure it agrees with the Word of God. But you'll notice here that in the Luke, the 16th chapter, the rich man died and he was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes in torment. It didn't say, but he probably was transported by an angel too. Because we find that the angels will cast them into hell. But we know for a fact that Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. That's the way we're going to meet him in the sky. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. A familiar scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's begin reading here. Verse 13. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. Referring to the blessed hope. Feel sorry for people that have no blessed hope. No hope in the rapture. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now let's talk about that just a minute. Those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now there's people that teach that means that that's at the second advent, Revelation 19. He's going to bring those that have died and gone on to heaven to be back, their spiritual bodies back with Jesus. Not so. Not so. Won't fit. Won't fit. What's it talking about? The spiritual bodies of those that sleep in Jesus. That, see, Paul said after Jesus rose from the dead, the righteous dead that were in the center of the earth, they were transferred to heaven. Paradise now is in heaven. It's not down there anymore. And all the saints that have died to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. The angels transport you there. No doubt about it. We're going to need more help to transport this physical body there than you do a spiritual body because it's heavier. So if the angels transport, well, when Jesus appears, he is bringing back their spiritual bodies. And then the dead in Christ. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. Well, back up. I missed verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Now what is the shout? Come up hither! The trumpet sound. Come up hither! And the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, the dead bodies will come out of the graves. They'll come back together. Now, there's people that teach, oh, no, the body won't be a bodily resurrection. We have a spiritual body, and that's on. When this body dies, it goes back to the dust. Yeah, but it'll come back out of the dust and come back to molecule and bone to bone, and it will be reconstructed perfectly. And Jesus died for man, spirit, soul, and body. And he's not going to lose any part of it. Those dead bodies will be gathered back and become perfect. They will be caught up and meet the spiritual bodies in the air, and they will be united and be glorified. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Now listen to this. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds. In the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, if he's just talking, why did he say in the air if the clouds means the air? The cloud doesn't mean there. It means angels. Angels transport us up there. Ascending the ladder from the house of God went reached to heaven, and the angels were ascending. I'm about ready to go. Get a ladder. Man. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But the times and season, brother, you have no need that I write unto you. No, we don't need to know. Brother, when that trumpet sounds and we hear the trumpet saying, come up hither, we out of here. Quicker than a New York minute. Somebody said, why does the dead in Christ rise first? Because they got 6 foot further to go. But you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, and when they shall say peace. Now, when it says the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, you see that's referring to the second advent, not the rapture of the church. But it says day of the Lord. That is the second advent. Never does it speak of the church being called out as a thief by Jesus as a thief in the night. Every single verse in the Bible that says as a thief in the night refers to the second advent. For when they shall say peace and safety, they shall say, you see. Now, come on down, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not of darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. See, it's not going to overtake us as a thief. Because we won't be here. We will come back when he returns. Come down to verse 8. But let us who are of the day, see, we are the day, not of the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation, the hope of deliverance, the hope of deliverance, the hope of the rapture, that is deliverance. What from? The next verse reveals it. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation or deliverance by the Lord Jesus Christ. There's your escape right there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a deliverance that comes by the ministry of angels? Folks, the reason the ministry of angels is being talked about and people are getting angel conscious because angels are getting ready. They're about ready to take the first load. And I don't know about you, but I'm going on the first load. My reservations are made. I got my boarding pass. It's spelled J-E-S-U-S. The name above every name. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the angels. Yeah. God's not appointed us to wrath. Now, I know a lot of you want to tribulate. Well, just stay here and tribulate. I'm going. Some folks will fight you for the right to tribulate. Turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Somebody said, you mean there's more? Yeah. Now here's something that I missed. While you're going there to the 12th chapter, let's stop off in the 11th chapter, verse 39 and 40 that we've talked about the other night, and I failed to bring it on down. Verse 39 says, these all having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise, see the promise of the Messiah and the promise of his coming, because it wasn't in their time slot. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. See, the Old Testament saints have died and gone on. They haven't been made perfect without us. And they won't be made perfect without us. They're in heaven, all right. They're in paradise, I mean. But you see, they will be brought back. When he appears, they come back with him in the air. And then we're caught up in the clouds to meet him in the air and united with them. And we're all made perfect together at the same time. Now, look at the 12th chapter here. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about so great a cloud of witness, let lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, looking on and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That finishes your faith when those angels catch you and you're gone. That's the ultimate end of your faith. Jesus authored it and he finished it. Now, it's interesting that in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I'm the beginning and the ending. Now, wait a minute. There is no beginning of Jesus and there is no end of Jesus. He's always been and he will always be. What on earth could he possibly be saying? I began the church and I will end the church age. I began your faith and I will end your faith. The ultimate end of your faith is the rapture of the church. That's what the whole thing is building to. Of course, faith for provisions here and faith to escape the wrath of God, which he has planned for us. To escape it beyond any doubt. Hebrews 12, now come on over to verse 18. For you have not come, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. For you have not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, now unto blackness or darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, for ye are come, but ye are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. To this. Mount Zion. That ladder reaches from the house of God to that city. We'll read that again. You are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now go back over to Revelation chapter 5. After chapter 1, you see the chapter 4, you see the 24 elders on 24 seats or thrones. These represent the Old and New Testament saints. We come to chapter 5. In verse 9 says, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. Who do you suppose that is if it's not the church? Beyond a doubt, it's the church. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beasts, the elders, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. That's about 100 billion angels. Now what are all the angels doing in heaven? They're ministering spirits to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. Heirs of deliverance. They have just delivered them to heaven. That's why they're there. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a deliverance that comes through the ministry of angels? Now it's interesting. Come over to the 7th chapter. Now what happens here, I'll give you a synopsis. The church is taken out. Immediately the Antichrist is revealed. When the first seal is opened, the Antichrist is revealed riding a white horse. He has a bow but no arrows. Rules by total deception. He has no crown. They have to give him a crown. He's trying to imitate Christ. But the 6 seals are open and God does not allow the angels to hurt anything on the earth until 144,000 Jewish men that have just understood and got the revelation that Jesus was the Messiah and he's come and we've missed him. And so these 144,000 Jewish men, 12 out of every tribe of Israel, God seals them in their forehead with a seal that no man can hurt them. The Antichrist can't harm them. All of the plagues can't harm them. And there's none of the plagues are released until they're sealed. These 144,000 men have the assignment to evangelize Israel and the Gentiles during the tribulation period. And the Antichrist can't do a thing about it. So they minister for about 3.5 or 4 years, and somewhere around mid-tribulation, they show up in heaven. Now, it had to be a rapture, didn't it? If they show up in heaven. Now, look at verse 9. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindred, people, tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robe, palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne. Why are these angels back in heaven? They just took another load. They're ministering spirits to minister for those who are heirs of salvation. That's just exactly what they've done. All of those that got saved during the first 3 or 4 years of the tribulation period have been raptured there in heaven. They came back and got another load. And they're all standing around the throne of God. Nothing could be more convincing as you follow this of what the angels are doing here. Now what happens is right after mid-tribulation, they're caught up and they're gone, and the Antichrist thinks, I've got it made. Now I've got rid of them that's preaching the gospel, and we can just do all of our wicked stuff, and nobody can say anything about it. And about the time he decides, he breaks his covenant with Israel, see, mid-tribulation, and he calls a press conference. CNN's there, ABC, CBS. He stands up and said, the wicked are gone now, and I'm the man of peace. I am God, and you will worship me. About this time, two men stand up over here. They said, thus saith the Lord, you're an imposter, and you will burn in hell forever and ever and ever. The two witnesses, which I believe to be Enoch and Elijah, he says, go get those men. And his elite military run over there, rush over there to get those men, and they just go, and they're burned to a crisp in an instant. And they dog him for 3.5 years. Everywhere he goes, they're prophesying. Excuse me. You walk on them, don't you? They're prophesying his doom, and he can't do a thing about it. Everybody that tries to harm them, they die that way. They're burned to a crisp. Right at the end of the tribulation period, they are killed. Right at the last, at 3 days before the end of the tribulation, they're killed by the demons that come out of the pit. They lay in the streets for 3.5 days. And they rejoice. They send gifts. And see, CNN will be there, ABC, CBS, Dan Rather, and all them folks will be there. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God enters into them. They stand up. Right on TV, right on television. The Bible says all the world will see. See, years ago, we didn't know how that happened. We didn't believe, we thought it was a symbol, not a symbol. It's actual happened. Now we know it'll be on satellite to all the world. Right on television. And to hear a voice from heaven said, come up hither! And they ascend. The angels take them right up into heaven, right on television. There's a great earthquake. The city's divided. And Jesus himself, Revelation 19, heaven opens and they turn those cameras up. What's happening up there? And strange things are happening. And here comes a multitude on spirit horses from heaven. And one fellow, what's that on his thigh? King of kings and Lord of lords. Woo, glory. Kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord and His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever and ever. Satan is bound, cast into the armies of Antichrist are destroyed. Satan's bound for 1,000 years. There'll be 1,000 years of peace. Go with me to Matthew, the 13th chapter. I'm trying to quit. But you need this whole load while I'm here. So I may not get to come back for a while. Matthew 13. Now this will help you understand some things, folks, that people try to talk you out of the blessed hope. In the parable of the tares in Matthew 13, now we're not going to read the whole thing. You know much about it. The guy sowed a good seed in his field, and when the fruiting season, the tares showed up. And he said, "Didn't you sow good seed?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, where did these tares come from?" He said, "An enemy's done this." Verse 28, "And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, wilt thou that I go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them." In other words, there is people, satanic plants in the kingdom, sowed there by the devil. "Let both grow together until harvest. And in time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares." Now listen very closely to what he's going to say here. Gather first the tares. Folks, it's already started. The tares are gravitating toward the bundles. Gather first the tares and bind them in bundles. Notice it didn't say and burn them, said to burn them. Not going to be burned at that time. They're going to be gathered in bundles. They gravitate to their own kind. That's why the homosexuals are coming out of the closet. That's why the people that do all kinds of wicked things want you to know they do it. They bomb a bus and kill 100 people and say, "Yeah, we did it. We want you to know we did that." Tares are gravitating toward the bundles. Bind them in bundles. Now, that's not talking about being bound up where they can't do anything. They gravitate and just become as one for total wickedness. Total wickedness. "But gather the wheat into my barn." Now notice, at the time they're bound in the bundles, they didn't burn them. But at the time they began to be bundled together, he gathered the wheat into his barn. Or the place prepared for the good grain. Now folks, if that's not a composite drawing of the rapture of the church, we've missed something. Now come over here and let him give the interpretation of this. Verse 38, or verse 37. "He answered and said unto them, he soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, the good seed is the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, the reapers are the angels." But now notice here, he says, the reapers are the angels, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire." Now notice, the harvest is the end of the world. There is something that takes place before this harvest. And that was that the tares were bound in bundles or gravitated toward the bundles to burn them. But here they will be burned. So it's a different time period. Folks, we're already seeing the tares gathering toward the bundles. The reapers are the angels. "As therefore..." Now, the reapers are the angels. You know they're going to gather the wheat into the barn. Because Jesus said, "Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." He called himself a grain of wheat. And we're born of him. We are the wheat harvest. And when you see the tares coming together in bundles, then he's going to gather the wheat into his barn. Now, study this carefully. "As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire." Notice it's a different time period. 7 years difference. "So shall it be at the end of this world." This actually may refer to the end of the millennial period when he gets rid of all wickedness from the earth, because that will be the end of the age, not the end of the world. "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and do, and them that do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire. Then there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now this plainly, this part of it is at the end of the millennial. That's when all wickedness is totally from the earth. But this gathering the wheat into the barn takes place as the right after the tares are gravitated toward the bundles. Now come to verse 47. "Again, the kingdom of heaven likened to a net which is cast in the sea, gathered every kind, which when it was full, he drew to the shore, sat down, and gathered the good into a vessel, cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, sever the wicked from among the just, shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, folks, this explains in the discourses of Jesus, the one taken and the other left, that's not referring to the rapture. That's referring to the angels taking the wicked out of this earth. And see, we've always thought it was the rapture of the church. Not so. Because you see, the thing that represents the rapture of the church in Luke 21 and in Matthew 24 is the, as it was in the days of Noah. Noah's a type of the righteous in his family, the righteous called out before the judgment of God. But when it says, as it was in the days of Lot, now we have changed to a different story. We're talking about the second advent. Because when Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone. There was no fire and brimstone rain in Noah's day. Be no fire and brimstone rain when the latter goes to heaven and the church is caught out. So it has to be referring. Lot represents the remnant of Israel that escapes Jerusalem just in the nick of time and are not destroyed by the Antichrist or by the fire, but fire destroys the Antichrist. And see, in Luke explains it very vividly. After you talk about one taking the other left, one taking the other left, one grinding a mill, one taking the other left. And they said, where, Lord? Where'd you take them? He said, wheresoever the eagles or vultures are, there, or the dead bodies are there, will the eagles be gathered together, the vultures. In other words, that puts you in Revelation 19, when the angel stood in the sun and said, come and feast, called all the fowls there, come and feast on the dead bodies of the wicked men of the earth. That's the angels harvesting the wicked out of the earth, taking them out. And this is what he's talking about here. The angels go forth and sever the wicked from among the just and cast them in to the fire, furnace of fire. Now let's just review just a little bit right here. Jesus said, you'll see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That would reveal that the first part was going up. The second part's coming down. Reveals the composite drawing of the rapture of the church and the second advent. For Revelation 4:1 said the heaven was open and there was a voice said, come up hither. Jacob's ladder reached all the way to heaven from the house of God. Angels ascending, going up first and descending. Another composite drawing in Revelation 19:11 proves beyond any doubt that that's Jesus and the church coming back. And folks, I'm telling you, the tares are gravitating toward the bundles. They're wanting to put all the filth they can on television, on the internet, and all of these things. And they want you to know they want it filthy. Scripture over there says, let the filthy be filthy still, the just be just still, the unrighteous be unrighteous still. That's in the book of Revelation. And it's after they've all been cast into the lake of fire. Where they're going to be filthy is in hell. With their own kind, because they gravitated toward the bundles, and the righteous will be righteous in that celestial city. And you know, in that parable, or the rich man and Lazarus, well, the parable, the rich man looked across to see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Paradise. I'm convinced that in hell they'll be able to look up, see that city has streets of pure gold, clear as crystal. I believe they'll be able to look up through that city into that celestial city and see the righteous living in peace and righteousness and happiness forever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, glory. It's time that we begin to believe for the ministry of angels in every part of our life. Folks, how are you going to escape these drive-by shootings if you neglect so great a ministry as deliverance by angels? There's no protection naturally against suicide bombing. But there is supernaturally. We know that from Israel. I've quit preaching. I'm just talking now. Don't call this preaching to you. In the Six-Day War in Israel, they had those big guns on the Golan Heights shooting right into Tel Aviv. And those things are shooting, I don't know, 30, 40 miles. And they're accurate. They sat up there and shot them for hours. Not one mortar landed on Israel. Every one of them went out to sea. What happened? Angels of deliverance. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a deliverance that comes by the ministry of angel? Michael, the angel, the prince to watch over Israel, stationed an angel at the muzzle of every one of those guns. And every time they fired it, he'd just go, slap that thing right out in the ocean. You saw it, if you remember, headlines right on the front page of the newspaper. 200 Syrian and Russian tanks out in the middle of the Sinai, sitting there. They jumped out and run off. They questioned some of them, said, why did y'all leave the tanks? Well, we saw so many tanks, we were so outnumbered, and there was such a cloud of dust coming, we knew it was going to be annihilated. Israel was outnumbered 20-1. They went out there and got those tanks. Paid the Star of David on them. The next time Russia comes against Israel, and with some other nations, Iraq and some of those, when they get through with that battle, there will be enough diesel fuel till Israel will have 7 years of fuel all through the tribulation period. They'll have enough fuel for the whole tribulation. God provided. There was one Israeli soldier that they told about that he's, man, that's outnumbered. He said, I'm just getting out of here. I'm deserting. He took off running over a sand dune, run up on a machine gun nest, a whole battalion. And when he ran up over that, they threw up their hands, dropped their weapons, and surrendered to him. And he just standing there like, what? and somebody questioned him about why they surrendered. Well, they said, we heard the roar of the tanks, we saw the dust fly, and we saw this huge army coming. One Israeli trying to defect. Angels bringing deliverance. Start confessing daily. His angels have charge over me. They keep me in all my ways. My pathway is life. There is no death. I'm a doer of the word of God. I'm blessed in my deeds. Who will take the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one? Blessed be God. Oh, hallelujah. Barasta baritu seva vasoka barakeas. Oh, ansha lamaka tandai. Amansa lamaka. Yeah, we're coming into a day like no man has ever seen. The angels' ministry has become more prevalent. But folks, it's going to be like anything else. We're going to have to believe in it. You have supernatural deliverance by the ministry of angels. Say this with me. Father God, because of your word, my faith in your word, I believe in the ministry of angels. They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister for me, for I'm an heir of salvation. They'll keep me in all my ways. They'll bear me up, lest I even stump my toe. And they'll watch over me. And I commission them. They have full authority to intervene in my life. Protect and keep me, for the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him, those that believe him, and brings supernatural deliverance, supernatural protection, this day in which we live. Hallelujah. Every head bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, for your revelation. As we approach the age to be delivered from this planet Earth, I pray that there's not one person under the sound of my voice that will miss heaven or will miss the rapture of the church and have to go through the tribulation period. So, Father, I pray tonight those that are under the sound of my voice, if they have not made Jesus Lord of their life, they will do so before they leave this place. I thank you for it. While heads are bowed and I look over this congregation, if you're here, you say, Brother Capps, I know in my heart that we're coming close to the end time. And I want to be ready, and I'm not sure that I'm ready. You can be before you leave here. If that's you, lift your hand. Lift your hand up. Wave it at me just a little bit. Say this with me. Father God, I see in the Word where there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. The last 3.5 years, tribulation period, and it'll be in heaven. Make my reservations. Make my appointment now. I'll be there.
I'll be there.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
This is the end of this cassette message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. For information on how you can receive additional tapes and books by Charles Capps, just write to Charles Capps Ministries, Post Office Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046.